Our gospel lesson this morning will come from John's gospel, reading from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 21. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. And I invite you to stand as you're able, in body or in spirit, for the reading of our gospel lesson. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciple told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails in my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Now that the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these were written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I was thinking recently, how your Facebook will give you your time hop, looking back on what things you were doing and things like that. And I got a notification about Easter a few years back during COVID, and boy, those were fun days, weren't they? Those Easter services in the midst of the pandemic. And that just got me kind of recounting all of that. I remember thinking, I tell the staff sometimes when I'm leaving at the end of the day that I'm going to go to Walmart and get something for Holly. And I always jokingly say, if my wife ever doubts my love for her, I'm choosing to go to Walmart to get something. That is the most sincere form of love you can have for somebody, choosing to go to Walmart. But back then during COVID, we couldn't leave our house. Man, I was volunteering. Hey, I don't think we have enough toothpaste. I'll go to Walmart. Let me go to get it for us. Because I was getting cabin fever. And I just had, it's going to shock you, I did not do well being stuck in the house. It did not really go well for me or for my soul. So I was looking for any escape to get out, even to go to Walmart. But that got me thinking, during that time, some of y'all may remember the TV show, or it's still on now. Maybe watch it. America's Got Talent. We watched a lot of America's Got Talent in that time, and it was funny. I always loved the magicians. The magicians were always my favorite. Holly loved the singers, and sometimes we all loved the comedians. But man, I just love magic. I think magicians are just the coolest things. If I did not have too many football injuries and my fingers bend like that, which is not natural, man, I would love to be doing magic. Man, if I was doing magic, you'd see me on the side of Lakeland just doing card tricks. It'd be the best. I would just love to do magic. It would be so much fun, but I don't have the coordination or skill or patience to do it. I just think it's so cool, because think about magic. It's kind of like last week. Last week in our sermon, we talked about how the cross is the dividing point between the old world, the world of sin and of death. And the cross is the dividing point between that and the new world of victory and of life. But yet the problem is that even though we live in the new, we still find our feet planted in the old, don't we? And so we've got to use our imagination to imagine what the life should really look like. It's kind of like magic. You got to kind of suspend belief, don't you? You got to stop looking at what you see all around you, and start looking at what can be. That's what magic calls it, to kind of see that, to think, oh my gosh, look what they just did. Isn't that amazing? Well, you intellectually know that ain't right. There's no way he really pulled off his thumb. That couldn't have happened. But what does your eyes tell you? Look, ooh, magic. It's great. I love it. So much fun. We live in a world where our heart tells us, death doesn't win. We live in a world where our heart tells us that there is something beautiful out there, like Katie said so wonderfully in her children's moment. We live in a world where we know it's there. But sometimes all our eyes can see is death or tragedy or pain. And we have to almost imagine, try to picture the beauty. Because, see, I love the text today. This is one of my favorite texts in all the Bible. It's a beautiful text because so many things we could talk about today. We see them. I love how it starts off. Because remember last week they saw all these things, and they saw the resurrection. They heard about the resurrection, and it was awesome, and it was powerful. Yet where do we pick up today? It says they had locked the doors for fear of the Jews. Now, always remember in John's gospel, this is very important to understand John, when you hear John say the Jews, that's shorthand for the religious leaders, okay? That's always in John's gospel. Anytime John says the phrase the Jews, that's shorthand for the religious leaders, because who was John? He was also a Jew, I want you to understand, anytime in John's gospel you hear the phrase the Jews, that's shorthand for the religious leaders. So the disciples now, even though they had heard testimony of the resurrection, even though some of them had seen Jesus, they knew these things. They knew they were living in the new. Yet, out of fear, they locked their doors. Sometimes we know what is good and beautiful, as the kids sang this morning. Yet, out of fear, we remain planted in the old. I just love that. That's a powerful concept. And then our boy Thomas, God love him, Thomas. He's one of the more interesting characters in the Bible, because here he is here. He says, okay, guys, I know y'all said y'all saw him, but come on. Thomas's feet are planted in the old. I know y'all said y'all saw him, but unless I see him, unless I put my hands in his side and in his hands, I'm not believing it. I got to see it. I got to touch it. I got to experience it. And so what do we call Thomas? We call him, that's right. Hit rewind. Go back to when Jesus says, I must go to Jerusalem. You know what Thomas says? Let us go with him that we too may die with him. We don't call him brave Thomas, do we? We don't call him courageous Thomas, do we? No. We call him doubting Thomas. How would you like to be defined for all of eternity by your worst mistake? Thomas was more than just somebody who doubted in that moment. By the way, something we probably would have all done ourselves. But yet, we define him by this one moment. I think the story of Thomas is one that should teach us to show grace to ourselves and, frankly, show grace to others. Because I know if there's one thing we Southerners definitely don't do is bring up things people did to us 30 years ago. I know that we Southerners don't love to hold on to grudges, do we? Thomas should be an example to us to not define ourselves or define somebody else by their worst mistake. But I love this passage here. I love this passage here because we see in this passage, we see that they are afraid. And then Jesus appears, and they saw and they worship. They saw. Thomas got to touch. Thomas got to experience. He got to see the beauty that came post-resurrection. He got to see this. And that was awesome because they wanted to. I think they wanted, I want to believe the magic tricks. They wanted to believe that something beautiful had happened. They wanted to believe it, yet they just couldn't. They were too afraid. They wanted to believe, but they couldn't get there. Me and Frank were talking before the service today. Today's some publications call this Bright Sunday. The Sunday after Easter is called Bright Sunday. Other churches call this Low Sunday. Call this Holy Laughter Sunday. They talk about the beauty and the laughter of this. But we preachers, we call this Low Sunday. Because the church always is full on Easter. And then it's always a much slimmer crowd on this Sunday. So what we do is we learn tricks. So this is what I've always done. So, hey, what do? We had the baby singing to y'all, okay? Come on now. You think that was a coincidence? Of course not. We tried to get y'all here back to church. You can come to church two Sundays in a row. It's not against the law. We're trying to get y'all here again. When I was in Ripley, there was a great group out of the Bedore Center in Senatobia called the Miracles. I don't know how many of y'all have heard of them. The Bedore Center is a home for those with disability in Senatobia. And they have this beautiful choir that comes to sing called the Miracles. And when you hear them sing, I can only imagine, you will get saved. If you were not saved, you will get saved. Guess when I had them come to Ripley every year? Sunday after Easter. It's exactly right. You got to give y'all a reason to come, give folks a reason to come back. A friend of mine gave me an article about how churches are always full on Easter. You know, it would be very easy for us to be cynical about that, wouldn't it? But I think we have to go the other way. Because you know what that tells us? That folks are looking for something. Folks are looking for something. Folks know there's something beautiful out there. Folks know there's something kind and glorious out there. And maybe they've checked out a church. Because, by the way, if you do research, you know what their largest growing religious affiliation is in today's world? It's called the Nones. N-O-N-E-S. Those who have no religious affiliation or connection. Particularly among the youngest, the Gen Zs, over half of them are considered nuns. People who don't go to church and have no desire to. That's that. And we look at that and that kind of scares us, doesn't it, as the church? Like, oh my gosh, scares me. Believe me, I spend a lot of days in my office looking at spreadsheets and budgets saying, oh Lord, how are we going to fix this? It's scary. It is. Particularly for those of us that have such deep affinity and affiliation for the church and for worship. And so we see it on Easter when the crowds are full. And then we say, oh, what about next? What about now? But I think the truth of Easter and of Christmas and of these days shows us that people are looking. People are looking. They know that there is something beautiful. They know that there is something glorious. They know that there is something kind. And that thing that they are looking for is what we see on Easter. And the beauty that they seek is the beauty that we know in the life, in the teachings of Jesus. That we, you know, we sing on Christmas, oh holy night. Surely he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. There are people out there that are looking for that law of love and that gospel of peace. They're looking for that. But these people also, we see the beauty in Jesus Christ of the love and grace and mercy he gives. But we also see the beauty of Jesus Christ in that every human experience we have, betrayal, hurt. You've been betrayed by somebody you love, so has Jesus. You've been cast aside by someone you love, so is Jesus. You've experienced pain and tragedy, so is Jesus. The totality of the human condition is seen and experienced in Jesus. But then Jesus, his life is not the end of the story. We see his death. He suffered as we suffer. He died as we die. But his death is not the end of the story. The end of the story is the resurrection. In that death and pain and loss and tragedy are not the end of the story. There is something beautiful out there. There's something beautiful out there that's seen in resurrection, that's seen in grace, that's seen in mercy, that's seen in love, that's seen in kindness, that's seen in redemption and salvation. There is something beautiful out there, and our world is desperately seeking it. Desperately seeking it. In fact, I have a theory. That's why we're so angry about sports and politics nowadays. This is my theory. The Bible tells us that God has written eternity on the hearts of men, that we are by nature people who want identity and hope and belief and belonging as humans. We are by nature religious. Look across the world. Every culture has some form of religion. And as our world becomes less religious, we still have that energy that's got to go somewhere, don't we? And that energy in today's moment finds itself, I think, taken particularly in the South into two places, sports and politics. Because you want to make somebody mad at you, disagree with them on those two issues. I joke about this, but I learned one thing in life. I don't make sports jokes in the pulpit anymore. I don't. If you ever hear me talk about sports, if I talk about Ole Miss, what do I do about Ole Miss? I'm making fun of them, aren't I? Making fun. That's why I'm so glad Sarah's been at Southern, because now I can root for Southern Miss. And don't nobody care about Southern? Nobody gets mad about Southern. Nobody cares. I can joke about Southern all day long, and don't nobody care. There's no secret pocket of South Alabama fans here ready to take me down. But we take that energy that we have, that we desire for something beautiful, we transfer it to sports, and we transfer it to politics. And these things never make us happy. They offer us a sense of belonging that they can't really fulfill. Because the beauty we seek in life is not found in things of this world, but it's found in Jesus. It's found in Jesus. What did John say today about why he wrote this gospel? I wrote this that you may come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That you may know something beautiful. Y'all, your worth is more than your IRA. Your worth is more than the promotion at work. Your worth is more than the achievement of your children or grandchildren. Your worth is more than your grades or your college. Your worth is more than your relationships. Your worth is found that you are loved by God. Your worth is something that is given to you. You are made in the image of God, and you are loved, and nothing can change that. Nothing can stop that. Your worth is found in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is your identity. That is your truest purpose. That is your truest life. And that is the beauty that we seek. Not in the things of this world. Not in the pressures of this world, not in the expectations of this world, but only in Jesus Christ. The story of redemption, the story of love, the story of peace, the story of salvation, the story of surrendering your life to Him and living for something more beautiful. That is what we need, y'all. And that is what this world is seeking. That's why our churches are full on Easter and Christmas, because folks are looking for it so desperately. And it's our job to show it to them. It's our job for us to show them the beauty that they are looking for in other places that can only be found in Jesus Christ. That's our job. But for us to show, we have to experience. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Well, here's the good thing, y'all. We may not see, but we can experience. When we walk daily, quietly, peacefully, lovingly with Jesus, we experience the one who still has the marks upon his hand. And when we walk through our tragedy like he did, we see that Jesus, even though he's resurrected, guess what there still is there, y'all? A scar. The resurrection didn't take away all the scars. The scars remained. And the scars become beautiful because the scars show us that in spite of all the pain, we can be redeemed and restored and loved and accepted and know His goodness. There is beauty to be found there in the life, in the death, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is beauty to be known, y'all. And that's what this world is seeking, is beauty. And I think that's how we as the church show Jesus to a world who in some ways has written us off. Is in Jesus Christ, we show them the beauty that they are seeking. And y'all, it's that beauty. It's that beauty that will bring them home. It's that beauty that will bring us home. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. May with how we live our life, may we be the reason that somebody has seen the beauty of Jesus. And may we rest ourselves completely and totally in that beautiful identity that comes from knowing Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray.